Coming up next on the Weekly Pass, we have NBA, NHL playoffs, and talking NFL draft with Warren Moon. What do you think, Josh?
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. I'm living
in that 21st. There's our music.
So good.
Last week had no music. We pumped up, right?
We just wanted to.
Welcome back to the Weekly Pass. I'm Bonnie Jo Laughlin. Thank you again for joining us on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm happy to be here. Happy to see my co-host. And yeah, it's all that. And we've got at BJ Weekly Pass on Twitter. We're starting to like engage in that.
We are.
And you can catch me on Twitter at BJ Laughlin and on Instagram, Facebook at Bonnie Jill. And my co-host, you can find them, just in case you don't know by now, you can find them at...
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh underscore Rodriguez underscore.
Yeah, I'm David. You can find me at David H. Bloom on both Twitter and Instagram.
I am Becky Sotero. You can find me at Becky Sotero on all social media and also right now in the live chat. Engage with us. We just want to chat with you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and I love how Becky has it on her computer, just in case.
Oh, this. Well, this was for other after shows, but.
Yeah, but just in case. Yeah, so make sure you join us on the chat. We want to hear from you. Yeah. We had a lot more people last week, Josh. You missed that.
We did, yeah.
They were coming in. And,
yeah, people want you to pie up, Josh. We didn't tell you this last week.
What are you talking about? I'm
going to bring a pie. It's happening.
People are saying they want pie to the face.
Well,
Josh,
they have to vote what pie I'm getting to the face because they haven't voted yet.
I thought we decided on lemon, no?
Lemon cream pie, right?
I don't know. Let's do it.
Hope
next
you
week.
Like lemon.
Next week it's going down, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
But I'm not here next week, so we got to make
okay,
sure
week
I'm
after
here.
That.
We'll really stretch
Set
this
your
out.
Calendars.
It's going to be stretched
Let's
out.
Let's do it.
Yeah, pie to the face. It's going to be trending on Twitter. Hashtag Josh, pie to the face. Or pie to the face, Josh. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
After Buzz is going to love us. We're going to make a really pretty mess in here.
So I won't be here next week. I'll be at the Kentucky Derby. So it'll be you three taking
Us
over. But it was great. I was actually at the Giants series this past weekend, and I actually have sunburned to prove it. But, yeah, I actually was there for the crazy at-bat that Brandon Belt had, which was, you know, 21 pitches, almost 13 minutes, and it was crazy. 16 foul tips. It was literally like, it was nuts. And like, you know, Boach gave us great seats right behind the plate. And it literally, me and my girl were like, wait, is this serious? Like, it was funny. And you started to know that normally, you know, it's in the favor of the pitcher, you know, when that keeps happening. And then, you know, he ended up line driving it to an out. But it was, you know, nice to see history.
Now, was it boring? Like, be honest. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. That long at that, it just drove you crazy.
Really?
Well, yeah. It was just like, you know. One felt after another, and everyone was like, oh. And then, but then it started getting in the middle of it. You're like, oh, wait, this is like, okay. It has to be. I even was like Googling. Is this how long? What's the longest, you know, at bat? And
did you find out what the longest was?
There was one in 1998.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 20, I think.
Yeah, but it was the other ones, you know, were way far back. But, you know, back in the day, I don't know if people were even keeping count of that.
Sure.
I think it lasted 21 minutes, right? Something like that?
Around around there, yeah.
No, 13 minutes.
Oh, it was 13 minutes?
No, 13 minutes, but 21.
Still, though, 21 pitches.
There you go. It was the pitches.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Second at
so
bat, too.
So, first inning.
Second batter.
I was like, oh, wow. My girl's like, cause I kind of dragged her there. She's like, oh, my God. We're not even out of the first inning. She goes, I'm like dying. It was so hot. And, you know, but it was fun, you know. And the Giants got the win. And it's nice to see my boys actually.
Absolutely.
Know, finally win a series. So, yeah. It was. I know you like the Angels. Someone here likes the Angels.
No. Hi there.
That's you. Like
yeah, you caught us at our in our bad streak. So
and I was excited.
Enjoy the wins. Enjoy the two.
And I was excited to see Ohtani. You know, I wanted to see him actually, you know, on the hill. But it was really cool just to see him and to see the people really get excited to see him. And
oh,
he
they
all
love
the Japanese
him.
Media everywhere. And
how'd he do?
So good.
He actually went 2-for-2.
Oh,
yeah. He's been good. He's pitching today.
Is he?
In Houston, yeah, he's pitching today.
He's a big kid.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And what's so cool, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but now you'll notice it. When he comes to the plate, when he's ready to hit, he actually bows to the
Stop it.
I know, I saw that.
Yes,
I love that.
He bows to the ump,
We love him.
I was like, wow, talk about respect.
I love it.
It's great. You know, it was funny, you know, and Buster was like, what are you doing? But, you know, I like it, you know, but he's a tall kid, too. He's big. He's like 6'4".
He doesn't look like it, though. I guess in person, obviously.
He's only 20 years old. But, yeah, so I was glad to, you know,
see
him. What did you guys do this weekend? Anything big
I was,
should know about?
I was nursing an ear infection and a sinus infection. I couldn't get on a plane last week. That's why I was absent. So, yeah. Just taking care of myself.
You were running from the pie.
I was.
That's true. And Becky, you ended up going to the Kings game.
You did.
They lost, but you were there in full effect.
It was devastating. Staples Center was the quietest I've ever heard it. Yeah. So the Kings got swept. Ducks got swept. We'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was
a lot of devastating
in Los Angeles.
A lot of SoCal. Not a lot of SoCal hockey.
There's no
good.
SoCal hockey happening. No, not
anymore.
No basketball happening.
And even with so, you know, it's funny. This is the first time in NBA, first time in a very long time where there's no New York teams and no California teams in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, we're all going to Coachella and, you know, playing golf, I guess. Yeah. I'm not sure.
And you know, for the networks, as we, you know, anyone who knows about the money, like the networks aren't happy about that. You know, they want to see
the rivalries, of course.
These big markets.
Yeah. Utah, Oklahoma City.
Yeah. All
right.
There we go.
Right? I know.
I don't know. Everybody does love their David.
It's a great series.
But let's talk about, let's go right into NBA playoffs and talk about that series. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I love, that's one of my favorite series right now.
Oh, for sure.
Because how physical is, I mean, crazy. Like, OKC does not have an answer for Utah.
No, and it's creating, it's creating two teams that are starting to hate each other now.
Oh, and
which I love when playoff series do. I mean, the scuffles they get into, Steven Adams just getting elbowed in the face and not feeling a thing. He didn't move. He just was there, like, correcting his nose after the elbow. But it was great because Game 3 was all about Ricky Rubio. You know, he had the triple-double.
Triple-double.
He was doing good. And then Game 4, Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, 33 points. And it's funny because you remember Westbrook said, you know, no way. Ricky Rubio's not going to do this again. I'm going to stop him. And he did not have a triple-double.
No,
he still had big numbers, Ricky Rubio.
He had 13, 6, and 8. And, you know, good job, Russ. You stopped him. You didn't let that stuff happen again. But then, they still have Donovan
Mitchell. But the thing is with Ricky Rubio, he's a point guard. He's a pass-first point guard.
Right.
So he doesn't have to score that many points.
Not.
He just so happened to have a triple-double. If you're going to stop Ricky Rubio, that means you have to stop the Jazz from getting into their offense. And that's not what Russell did. That's what people don't really understand about the whole Jazz system. It's like, Jay Crowder will score, Ingles will score, Rubio will score, Gobert will score, Favors will score. Everyone gets involved, and that's what makes them a team.
It is,
So at any given possession, they're going to move the ball and get the best shot available. And if Ricky Rubio is bringing the ball up, he's making sure they're getting the best shot available. And if he's doing that, he's doing his job. It doesn't matter what his numbers look like.
And it's great to be able to see Donovan Mitchell just completely destroy. I mean,
I
don't know if you guys saw, but he broke the record, Karl Malone's record as rookie, you know, most points
rookie,
in a game during a playoff game. I mean, that's pretty, I mean, we're talking about the mailman here.
He broke his record.
This is pretty big.
Which And the great thing was, I think game two, he came really close to breaking it. He scored 28. I think the record's like, 31?
31.
Yeah, and he came 33. Go him. Go with Donovan Mitchell.
So what do you think, what's wrong with the Thunder?
I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, it's funny because, you know, during the offseason, tell me everyone wasn't excited about that team. You know,
I wasn't.
What?
Really?
Okay, well, most people were excited.
I was excited. I was like, they just stole Paul George stole Carmelo Anthony.
You know, people were excited about, you know, Paul George and Melo and Westbrook and to see, and, you know, I know this all too well with the Lakers. You can have so many stars and the chemistry isn't there, and it doesn't matter how many stars there are because there's not enough balls on the court. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think it's showing right now. They're being, you know, exposed right now. They're going to lose a series.
Oh, for sure.
They're not coming back through. Do you think it's like one particular person to blame? Are you on the blame Russell Westbrook train?
You're going to put me on the spot because, you know, I like Russ as a person, but
I agree. Yes, for sure.
And I hate to say that, but, you know, there's also a time where his intensity, you know, he has to kind of funnel that anger differently. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, getting fouled out, you know, almost had what he had four fouls almost and almost got fouled out in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Four fouls. And our friend Mitt Romney wanted to make sure that Russell Westbrook knew that.
So good. This was like such an incredible moment.
I mean, it just talks about how this game is so exciting and fun and different stories because seeing Mitt.
Exactly.
So throwing shade.
But I just love the way he was on the court, like, you know, trying to get Westbrook's face. And, you know, Westbrook's like, sit down.
You think Westbrook knew who he was?
I think he probably knew his face. Okay. Right?
Probably took him a second, but now it's two teams that hate each other, too.
He ran for office no more than 4 or 5 years ago, so he should know who he is.
I mean, you would think he did, but, you know. And I really think Ingles low-keyed was getting, like, you know, in George's head. Oh, do you think that? I think he was a little
No,
bit,
he
you
was
know?
For sure. He dropped like 20. Because he can shoot.
Yeah, he was.
People forget he can shoot.
His shots were just falling. And it was great to see that. I mean, and, you know, anyone who's ever been to that arena, and I've been in the arena many times, they are loud. Yeah. And when we used to go there when I was with the Lakers, and, ooh, those fans are brutal.
Brutal.
You think
I've
that's Mormon
that.
Country? Ooh, they are like... I'm sorry.
When
like,
they get in that arena, they put all beliefs aside.
I had more people talk, you know, crap to me in my Lakers stuff than any other arena. More than the Celtics. And I'm talking like using profanity and everything.
In Utah?
Yes.
What?
In Utah.
And they're loud. They're mean. They're, yeah. And I'm always like, oh, wow. And the first time I was there, I was like, you know, you just think they're going to just be very kind and, you know, just...
It's
a little
Utah.
More PC? No. When it comes to the Jazz, that's all I
good
got.
Good old conservative Utah.
What else do they have there?
I was going to say, they've got to get fired up about something.
But what else do they have there?
That's true.
Besides the Jazz. Basketball. Tell me something else.
Well, that's how it was in Portland, too. Just basketball. When you have only one team, you got to fight.
Speaking of Portland.
I don't want to talk about it. I should not even have brought it up.
Yeah.
I should not even. But, okay, whatever. You know, it's, you win some, you lose some.
But that's one team.
They lost them all.
Yeah, you lose four.
You win none.
They had a great regular season.
Oh, there you
whatever.
Go. Just fall back in their great regular season.
I will lay in that lounge.
Swept by the DeMarcus Cousins list.
I'm not happy about it. But I'm all about the Pelicans stepping up. And I mean, what do you guys think about that? What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, especially with the sweep. But I would never think going to that series would be a sweep.
Sure. Oh, of course not.
Sure.
Especially
especially the way Portland was playing at the end of the season. They were really peaking at the right time. And Lillard was just phenomenal. People were talking about him even like, you know, MVP because the way he was just playing towards the end of the season. And to see them just literally just not show up.
Oh, they collapsed. They completely collapsed because the first game I looked at and I thought, okay, they won, but it was close. And Lillard and McCollum they got lucky. They just didn't have a good night. Every single night after that, it didn't seem like, I know they scored under 20 several times, and they just could not break enough and beat that defense. They really showed up defensively. Like, I know Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday and AD.
And, well, AD's
AD. AD is 33.3 average from the field, and then Holiday's 27.8. I mean, those two together, though.
Yeah.
They've been amazing together.
Yeah, but their defense.
No DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. No Boogie, by the way. You know, and... You know, a lot of people are saying, are they better without Boogie right now?
They're definitely different. They're more up-tempo. They're running the ball. You know, Rondo has the ball in his hands more. He's able to create for other people.
And Rondo's got the playoff experience. So he can – he sees the game differently. And without – you know, people kept calling him like the next – like Twin Towers, right, Josh? And now it's like there's no Boogie. And they're still –
I mean, like, you know, they're a more guard-oriented team. They still have Anthony Davis, who's their best player, but now you put the ball in Rondo's hands and he can create for other people. Drew Holiday he can play point guard, but he's a nice swing guard as well. He can play off the ball, so they're able to play up-tempo more, which, I don't know, it fits them pretty well. I mean,
where you want to be playoff-wise, so that's the thing. That's playoff basketball, is if you play the up-tempo type of game and you don't rely on the bigs in the playoffs, like, that's how you go far. I mean, not far, like, I'm sorry, Pelicans, but like, you know, they're going to go far enough.
And going on to the second round, we do know that they will be playing the Dubs in the second round, and everyone's like, oh, you know, what's going to happen? Are they going to be, who are they, the Warriors going to use to be able to stop AD, you know, and JaVale McGee, if anyone has been watching the Warriors, he's been playing phenomenal.
Love JaVale McGee.
And he's like, you know, he will, he'll take you down too. But I also like Draymond because I like him against AD as well because Draymond's a lot more physical.
Yeah, and there's other ways you can do it. You could double team AD whenever he gets the ball. Mm-hmm. Use Rondo's man because Rondo's not a jump shooter. You double team and then you just rely on rotations, which is something that the Warriors are good at.
And they got a deep bench.
How do you guys feel about tonight's game? How's that going to close out?
Which one is?
Who's Golden State and San Antonio.
Oh, that's Golden State wins on 20.
That series is done.
It's a round.
You know, people want to know.
And I actually like that the Spurs won, and I'll tell you why, because it stretches out that series and it gives Steph a little more time because we know that Steph is not going to come back. He may not play till, you know, middle of the second round. Which people are going, well, why not? Well, he's right on track. If you remember from the injury right when they announced it, he was 6 to 8 weeks. So he is on track. He's just not early.
You guys heard about his deal with Sony Pictures too, right? So he's going to be producing some TV and film. It's kind of awesome, though. I mean, why not, right? Why not use your empire? But I thought that was kind of cool about Steph. So he's still working off the court while he's injured. He's working both
for
camps.
Steph.
When it comes to his brand, Steph. I mean, he's like
unanimous media is what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, oh, he's hurt, but still – doing some deals.
Good for him.
I know. Yeah, Steph.
But it'll be a good series that next round. Sure. But I still, it's not going to be, you know, it's still going to be the Warriors. It's hard. I mean, even without Steph, they're just, the Warriors, it doesn't matter. They have way too many weapons.
They're not, yeah, but they're not as good without Steph.
Oh, so. No, they're not.
They're definitely vulnerable.
But I'm saying they can still win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would still favor the Warriors over the Pelicans, but I think it would go six.
Oh, yeah.
Six, maybe.
Really? I'm going to say five.
I'm saying five. I'm saying the Pels maybe steal one at home or something. Because I know when they played before in that first round series, game three, the Pelicans looked like they had it. And then out of nowhere, Steph just brought them back. And they came back and they won that game. But I say they get one. But Warriors, they have enough to beat them.
Oh, yeah. And talking about the Spurs and Warriors, we do want to send our condolences to Coach Popovich losing his wife, Erin. That was a very, very, very sad, depressing moment. So we want to make sure that we send our condolences and prayers to Pop, because Pop is he's a class act. He's the best. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, you know, to see someone in the NBA family struggling with that.
Have you met Popovich?
Oh, yeah, many times. And he's just... Gosh,
exactly
what you see, you know, is Pop. And, you know, even though this year wasn't, you know, what everyone expected, because they're normally that team that flies under the radar the whole season, no one talks about them and they're always in it. Kawhi Leonard obviously kind of screwed that up.
Just a little bit.
Sure.
Flipping back over to that series with Utah, you know, I'm curious now with OKC, I really think Paul George is going to be like, peace, I'm out.
Oh, he's gone.
And and he's going to be a Laker, because I've talked to a lot of Laker insiders, and he will, you know, come to La La Land, because if they were doing well, you know, he might have stayed.
But a lot of the media is trying to push the Paul George to Philadelphia narrative.
I know. Oh. And also LeBron going to Philly. Yeah. There's still
A lot of people going to Philly.
It kind of works. He fits in. He does. You have Ben Simmons, who has the ball and beats the big guy. He just kind of fits in between.
That team Philly's going to be good.
Yeah. It does make sense. I don't think LeBron makes sense in Philly, but I think Paul George makes sense in Philly.
He does, but I am hearing more that he'll be in LA. But we'll see. I mean, you don't know.
So
you know?
Now, what your connection with the Lakers, they want LeBron. Like, in what order do they want? Do they want LeBron, George, Kawhi, or do they want, like, LeBron, Kawhi, George?
LeBron first.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. Sure. And then, you know, they think Paul will come in, you know. Okay. And then, you know, Kawhi's not a free agent really till next
He's gone.
That would be a dangerous mix.
They need a trade.
It'd be a trade. So we'll see. I mean, they're not going to get all three, but you never know, right?
Even two.
They got the cap room. They got the money.
Yeah. Two out of those three would be a game changer for Lakers.
Just LeBron, just putting people back in the seats and buying jerseys again.
Are you kidding? Yeah.
And before we get Warren, because I know he's going to be coming on a little bit, let's talk a little bit about the Cavs series, because I'm telling you, like, they did just get, they got a little bow and put it and said, the Pacers said, here's the win, you know. And that series now is over.
You think so? Really? I don't think it's over yet.
I like it for sure. I think I want to see it go seven, just because I want to see that game seven, and I want to see LeBron ball out in that seven, and I want to see what Oladipo does.
So you
Oladipo was struggling in that, you know, in that last game.
Yeah, he was terrible last game.
But really, still, like, he really, still really got bad. The talent to do it.
Though. But so you think the Pacers losing this game just completely
the momentum? Yeah, is kind of like crushed them. So I think it's over. And funny, I'm good friends with T. Lou, and so I talked to Coach Lou, and you know, after game three, he was like so hot on, like, actually, I should say every game on these players. He's like, they're soft. He used another word, but that a lot of these guys are scared. You know, that it's the first time that, you know, a Jordan Clarkson, a Larry Nance has been able to see a stage like the playoffs. They're young kids, and they're kind of deer in the headlights. And even like Kevin Love, he's not demanding the ball. There's a lot of things. There's no intensity. They're not aggressive. And he's getting real frustrated with these guys being kind of soft and scared.
Yeah.
Can't imagine how LeBron feels. Gone?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was funny. Our friend Michael Irvin, he posted a picture of, like, this guy who's carrying all these things. He's like, this is LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got the world on his shoulders and has, you know, plus more.
He even changed that world out for another world that was on the Lakers and brought him here, and he's still doing that.
I mean, you guys don't think that series is over?
I don't know. The Cavs are not good. They're really not.
Oh, gosh.
Listen, I mean, the media is making the Pacers out to be like this strong, like, five seed team. Mm-hmm. The Pacers are a five seed. Like, let's stop playing around. This is not that great of a team.
The Cavs are a four seed.
Yeah, but the Cavs are having so much trouble with them.
Right.
I don't know if the Cavs can beat them twice without someone like Kevin Love stepping up. Like, Kyle Korver stepped up and had a good game.
Yeah.
Are you going to rely on Kyle Korver to be your second scorer? Like, that's insane.
No, you don't rely on Kyle Korver in a game like
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
And they keep saying that, you know, Coach Lou has to, like, change up the, you know, the rotation. What rotation? There, he doesn't have any guys to work with.
Right.
Not really. I mean, LeBron, I mean, everyone wants to say LeBron shipped him out, but they just cleared house and they brought new guys in. And that kind of goes
and
with the
idea. And that trade is not panning out.
Not at all. And that, but you think about it, let's say in the Lakers, if he goes to the Lakers, IT stays. Does he go back to play with IT?
No.
No, I don't think so. You,
that's the thing, because either IT leaves or they have that horrible chemistry of, I just traded him
here. IT's a free agent. He's going to be shopping around.
You think gone?
Yeah, he's gone. He's gonna go to like a mid-level team or a low-level team that's going to offer him more money than he deserves. The Lakers are not re-signing him. There's no way they re-sign him. They're not going to spend a single dime on him.
Nope.
Not wasting the money. Just going straight for the big fish.
They want their LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, first of the LeBrons and the Paul Georges they want too.
But is this good for basketball to see the Cavs actually struggling?
Yes.
I think it is.
I agree.
I think it came out a good year. I think you have the Sixers who are exciting. I think the Rockets are exciting. The Warriors are the Warriors. And I think teams like the Jazz who are playing team basketball are kind of bringing that into fruition.
When you are finished
We do not have Warren.
But, you know, I have to say, as an NBA fan, you know, besides my front office experience, these are some fun games.
Oh, they're great.
They're amazing.
You know, normally, a lot of the first round, you guys will have to say, isn't it kind of, we already know, kind of checklist of who's going to go get through. I actually think these are some fun, competitive, intense,
great
physical
playoffs.
Games.
Oh, we have Warren.
Warren! Wow. Why did you keep declining us and forwarding us a voicemail?
I had to keep you nervous a little bit.
I was.
You could get me right away.
I was sweating, Warren. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Who is that? Is that Maria?
No, she's not here, but we got Becky and Josh and David here.
I don't know them. I haven't met them.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Warren.
Hi, Warren. I'm Becky.
I'm David. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet all you guys. You guys are actually working with Bonnie, huh? That's amazing.
Yeah, we are.
You guys feel like living there, like working there, huh?
Warren, be quiet. So, Warren, I know that you've been following, you know, obviously what's going on and, you know, your expertise in this draft, especially with the quarterbacks, and everyone's talking about, obviously, Darnold and Allen and Mayfield and Rosen. Like, who is the guy that maybe you think people aren't thinking about as much? Because I love Lamar Jackson from Louisville, and I don't know what your thoughts are on him.
You know, I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks I've ever seen in college. And you just hope that he can transition to the National Football League. I don't think he's ready to be a day one starter in the NFL. Neither do I think any of those guys are that are coming out at the top of the draft. But I think Lamar Jackson's ceiling is probably higher than all the other guys coming out ahead of him just because of his athleticism and how dynamic he is and the things that he can do with his legs as well as his arms. So he's still developing as a passer, but he's a very accurate passer. But he can only get better as his fundamentals improve and as his technique improves because he hasn't been, you know, this type of quarterback basically in his whole career. He's kind of been learning over the last couple of years, and he's only going to get better and better.
Yeah, because he can sling it. We obviously know he's mobile. I mean, this is a guy that ran a 4.3 in the 40, Warren. I mean, this is, you know, and I know he wants to play quarterback.
He tried to not run 40 so people wouldn't know how fast he was because if you see those times, all of a sudden they want to put you in another position. I was the same way when I came out of college. When I ran my 40s in college, I slowed up so I wouldn't run as fast a time because I didn't want them to put me a wide receiver, which is what they were trying to do.
And that's what they're trying to do with Lamar Jackson. They wanted to play another position. He is adamant about playing quarterback, Warren.
Well, he should be, and I think he'll get the opportunity to do that. And it was a little bit different time when I came out compared to now. Now these guys are getting a chance to play the position, and they're playing it very well. And I think he'll get a chance because I think whatever team drafts him is going to draft him knowing that he wants to play quarterback and that they want him to play quarterback.
And Warren, with all these quarterbacks, you know, we know as history, you know, kind of repeats itself, there's so many guys that go in the, you know, number one, two, three quarterbacks, and they end up being busts. You know, not all of them end up being like an Andrew Luck and so forth. There's a lot of guys that go in the fourth and fifth round quarterbacks that end up being phenomenal. So why is that?
You know, quarterback position is a hard position to evaluate because you really can't measure sometimes what's inside a guy's heart. You can't always measure his work ethic. You don't know his intelligence and how he handles adversity. You can look at all the measurables that they look at in quarterbacks when they come out, just like they do for every other position. You know, their height, they look at their weight, they look at, you know, their 40 time and if they have a good arm or not. But there's so much more to play in that position that you can't always measure through the draft process. So that's why you see guys like a Tom Brady, who's a sixth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that just worked himself into a position to where, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the position because of his work ethic and his intelligence and his competitiveness. And you sometimes don't know a guy has all of that when he's coming out of college and you're ready to draft him. So that's why you see certain guys like a Russell Wilson go in the third round, and that was basically because of his height. If he was another 2 inches taller, he would have been, you know, one of the first quarterbacks picked in that draft. So a lot of times you can't go just on measurables. You have to go on what a player has done in college, what you think he has inside of him as far as those other intangibles I talked about. And that's why you have certain quarterbacks that go higher than others and don't make it, and other guys that go lower than others and do make it and make it big.
We're talking with Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Now, Warren, what quarterback in this draft kind of reminds you of your style and the Warren Moon that we all love to see?
You know, I think Sam Darnold. You know, he's a guy that can throw the ball from the pocket, but he also can move around and make plays with his legs and buy time when he has to. And that's something I always had the ability to do. But I learned, you know, early in my NFL career that the best thing to do is not try and run the football, because those guys will tear your head off when they see you outside of the pocket. So it's better to get the ball to your playmakers and be like a point guard as a quarterback and distribute the football as opposed to trying to run it. But the thing that is good, you do have that extra dimension that if you do need your legs, yeah, be wise when you use your legs and get down on the ground when you can, get out of bounds when you can. Something that I really like how Russell Wilson does his running. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take a lot of hits because he's very smart when he runs the football. As long as you're smart when you run it and don't take a lot of punishment like an RG3 or some of these guys who have really gotten banged up in their career, it's a good asset to have.
And you said something funny, Warren, you know, that some guys don't realize that when they get to the NFL, Warren, this game is quicker, bigger. Like, and you made such a great point that you were like, oh, my gosh, you're going to, you know, tear my head off. I'm going to be dead after this game.
Well, they love to see quarterbacks outside of the pocket because you don't get a chance to hit them the way you really want to in the pocket because they're protected so well. So once they're outside the pocket, they're like any other runner until they slide. So if a defensive player gets a chance to get a good hit on a quarterback, maybe he's not trying to put him out of the game injury-wise, but he's definitely trying to intimidate you and trying to, you know, trying to get inside your mind. So you don't want to give those guys those opportunities, and just be smart when you run the football, because if you're smart when you run it and you make yardage running the football, that really frustrates the defense because they're having to chase you around and they're still not getting a good shot on you. But if you are giving them a chance to get a good shot on you, that's exactly what they want.
Hey, Warren, it's Josh. I'm going to put you in the GM chair right now for the Cleveland Browns. Who are you taking first?
I'm probably going to take Sam Darnold. I think if they want to take quarterback first, I think he's the one that, not so much he's ready to play right away, but I think he kind of maybe fits the mentality of the Cleveland type of crowd, a gritty, you know, hardworking, work ethic type of guy that would fit well in a Midwest city like Cleveland. And Cleveland needs something. They need a home run at that quarterback position in the draft. They've done so bad on quarterbacks in the past. They need to make a hit and a splash on that position. I think he's one guy that's not going to be a bust out of that whole group. Even though I don't think he's ready to play day one, and they have Tyrod Taylor to play, you know, for him in the next year or so until he's ready to play. But I think he's a guy that has a tremendous future down the road.
All right, cool. And now the Giants are in an interesting position right now. They have Eli Manning, and a lot of people think they're going to take Saquon Barkley with the second pick. But a lot of people also feel that they should take a quarterback for the future. And I think their pick is going to decide a lot going forward with the draft. Now, what would you do with the second pick with the Giants? And what advice would you give Gettleman with Eli Manning, considering he's about 40 years old and can't really move out of the pocket?
Yeah, he's 37 years old. And I think if they're going to go with him, they're looking to win right now. So yeah. They're kind of in a pickle that, yeah, you have a 37-year-old quarterback who could – this may be his last year. You're not really sure, so you want to have somebody waiting in the wings to take his place. But you also want to win now because, you know, Eli's window is very, very small. So I would take Barkley in the second pick, and I would try and take a quarterback. I think there's a lot of other good quarterbacks down the line
right.
That they could probably get, maybe a Lamar Jackson or maybe a a Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, who I think is a pretty good player. And there's some other quarterbacks in this draft that maybe you could develop and give them a few years ready to play. So I don't think you need to take a quarterback that high. If you want to win right now, go ahead and take the great dynamic running back or the defensive end, Chubb, and then go ahead and take a quarterback down the line, maybe in the second round, and just develop him for the future.
Yeah, Warren, talking about, I think there's a lot, I mean, the obvious that we haven't brought up, and I know he was in the media a lot, Baker Mayfield, talking about him, do you think he's going to be one of those media hype, flash-in-the-pan quarterbacks, or do you think he's going to be a guy like, I like to think a lot of last year, I know in the media, Deshaun Watson was very hyped up, and he eventually, before the injury, was having an amazing career. What do you think, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts on Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield on his bust potential, I'll say.
Hyper hope.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sold on him yet. There's a lot of questions about his, you know, his attitude. I think his a lot of people like that he has swagger, but I think sometimes at that position, you got to act with a little bit more dignity than he does, and you have to have more of a quiet swagger than he does. His is more of an outward swagger, and I think he's one of those guys that he plays too much by emotion. And as a quarterback in the NFL, you can't let your emotions get ahead of you. Otherwise, it's going to affect the way you play. And I'm still not sure, you know, how good a quarterback he's going to be outside of that system at Oklahoma. You know, he runs a spread system. Oklahoma has had a lot of good quarterbacks come out of there, Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback positions, and they just haven't done well in the National mm-hmm. Football League. So that kind of scares me, just the fact that they haven't had a lot of history of guys that have done well in the league, even though they've done very well in college.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And looking a little down in the draft, I know there is a potential for a lot of teams to sleep on Saquon Barkley. And I know the Bucs are coming up in there. They have a higher draft pick, and they just cut Doug Martin. So what are your thoughts? Do you think Barkley could fall there? And if so, how do you think he'd fit in that system?
Yeah, I think if he was to fall that far, it'd be only because all these other teams are enamored by these four quarterbacks and maybe a fifth quarterback and also Chubb and maybe the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. And I think that would be the only way he would fall that far. But I guarantee you, if you look at probably 70-75% of the draft boards around the league, Saquon is number one on their draft boards, and they all would love to have him. I think the teams that, you know, have great running backs right now would be the only ones that wouldn't want him. But you just never know in these drafts, because quarterback is such an essential part of any team in the NFL because of the rules right now, the way they're geared towards throwing the football. Everybody knows they have to have a good quarterback. So I think these quarterbacks might dominate the top of the draft, but I would be surprised if Cleveland would pass on him at number four if they took a quarterback at number one. If he's still there at number four, I think Cleveland takes him at least at number four.
Right. Now, Warren, going outside of the quarterback position, I love the story with Shaquem Griffin. I mean, I know mm-hmm. that he's been talked about a lot, and, you know, he is so athletic considering his disability. Where do you think he falls right now? They've got a projected him at third round, fourth round, maybe fifth. What do you think about this kid?
Well, you know, I love the way he plays. Any guy that's a player of the year in this conference is a defensive player. That means he can play football, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what his handicap is. Somehow he's able to overcome that handicap and still do what it takes to be, you know, an All-American and a player of the year. So I know that's going to be something that's on the NFL team's minds, about the fact that he doesn't have a hand, because the hands are used a lot in the National Football League. You got to be able to use your hands to, you know, ward people off and avoid blocks and make tackles and things like that. So I'm sure that's something that's going to always be a negative against him, but there's so many other positives You know, I think he's a guy that could probably go, you know, in the third round to a team that's a really good football team, like a New England Patriots or somebody like that, where he could serve a lot of different needs for them as far as special teams, as far as being a specialized pass rusher on passing situations, mm-hmm. or putting him in nickel situations or dime situations on defense. So there's a lot of things you can do with him, and if it's a team that doesn't have great needs, he'd be a guy that you add to your depth of your football team because he can do so many different things.
Now, all around, Warren, is there someone that people are sleeping on? Is there mm-hmm. like some, you know, diamond in the rough that you know about that you can give us some insider info on?
You know, I wish I knew because I haven't studied it that hard to right. know what the diamond in the roughs are. I know, you know, kind of what the top players and the top names are, but really, but there always is in every draft, and you just mm-hmm. don't know who that guy is going to be. And that's why the Seahawks, the team I work for, has been so successful over the years. They've been able to get those diamonds in the rough. You look at a Richard Sherman, who was a fifth rounder. You look right. at Cam Chancellor, who was a fifth rounder, or Doug Baldwin, who was a free agent. Mm-hmm. All these guys the Seahawks either drafted or signed as free agents have become Pro Bowl players because they just have an eye for what fits their football team best, and other people kind of overlook them. So there's a lot of those guys that are going to be in this draft as well. This is supposed to be a very, very deep draft as far as a lot of depth throughout the whole draft through the first three or four rounds. So there's going to be some really good football players coming out of this draft.
Now, before I pass you off to Becky, Warren, what team needs to have a very big draft day to actually change the organization and where they're wanting to go? I know many teams, but
New England needs to have a good draft because they lost a lot of good players. They lost their left tackle. They lost a receiver. They lost some guys on defense, you know, Malcolm Butler. So they've got some holes to fill on their football team. Mm-hmm. I think Seattle Seahawks, because of everything we lost this right. year, we lost Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and Jimmy Graham and possibly Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill. So all those guys are Pro Bowl players that I just listed. So you've got to be able to try and replace some of those guys, not only through what you already have on your football team, but through some young players through the draft, because you're going to need that depth. So that's two teams right there that are at the top that want to stay on top, and that's the way they're going to have to do it with younger players as they start to rebuild.
Right.
Good stuff. Well, Warren, this is Becky. We actually have the live chat alive with us today, and they're excited to hear everything you have to say. We actually have a Colts fan that wanted to ask you who should they pick up in the draft?
I think they need to just get some more protection for Andrew Luck. If he's a guy that is going to be your franchise guy, hopefully for the next 10 years, hopefully he's coming off of that shoulder surgery and he's going to be fine to play this year. Make sure you have that guy protected. One of the reasons why he's had that shoulder surgery is because he's been beat up so mm-hmm. much over his first 4 years of his career. So I think you want to solidify your offensive line if you have a quarterback of his caliber and make sure he's well protected. And then you always want to try and get him a playmaker on the offensive side of the ball as well, something that takes a little bit of the pressure off of him, whether it's a running back, because Frank Gore is not there anymore. You got to be able to run the football, and it's where everybody can't focus right in on Andrew Luck. So maybe a running back or a dynamic receiver would be my next choice after an offensive line.
Oh, good stuff. Thank you for answering that on behalf of Bernard X on the live chat. He's really stoked right now. We are going to play a fun round of This or That. Have you heard of This or That? It's a game.
No, I haven't.
Yes, right. You have, Warren.
Come on, Warren. Don't lie to me. All right, we're going to play This or That. So it's rapid fire. We want to learn about you. We want the fans to learn about you. Are you ready?
I don't like to divulge myself.
They're fun questions. Okay, here we go. Joe Montana or Jerry Rice?
Oh, I stick with the quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah, I figured, but I just had to ask that. Draft season or playoff season?
Beg your pardon?
Draft season or playoff season? What do you prefer?
Playoff season. That's what it's all about. I mean,
well, they're both
for young rookies. You don't even know what they're going to do for your football team, but the playoffs is what everybody plays for to get to the playoffs.
Sure. AFC or NFC?
NFC. I'm an NFC guy, and I played in the NFC when I was a player. I played a lot of my career in the AFC, but finished in the NFC and I work for the NFC right now. I think
that's
the NFC
right. I know
is
you have
best.
To pick. You have to pick. I hear you. Super Bowl or Olympics? Now I know technically you'd say Super Bowl, but have you been to the Olympics?
I have been to the Olympics, yeah. And it's great, but it's a little bit spread out. It's kind of hard to really get into it as far as how you can get into one football game and really put all your energy and focus behind one game. The Olympics are great because it's all over the world, so a lot of different mm-hmm. events, but there's nothing like the Super Bowl.
All right, podcast or radio?
You know, I'm old school. I like radio.
All right, beach or mountains?
It's easier to find.
Yeah, true. Beach or mountains? Where will we find you?
Beach.
All right.
Every one of my vacations has something to do with water, sand, and breeze.
Great. Early bird or night owl?
Both.
Yeah, I was going to say both. Or kind of have night to owl.
I don't need a lot of sleep. I can sleep when I'm dead.
True. This is one of my favorites. French fries or French toast?
Oh, wow. That's tough. A good one.
Yeah, pass on the hard questions.
I probably eat more French fries than French toast, so I'm going to go French fries.
All right, respect.
Yeah.
I have a top 10 fry list, so I take that serious. Thank you so much, Warren. That was fun.
Thanks, Warren, for joining us.
This or that, huh?
Yeah, this or that.
There you go. You played it now.
I went gentle
for
on you.
Me on.
Yeah, she was easy on you.
I had a lot of fun with you guys, and if you ever need me again, let me know. And Bob Kinney says to tell you hello, Bonnie Jill. I just want you to know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be seeing you all next week at Derby.
Yeah, I will see you in about what?
A week.
10 days or so?
No, a week. Well, no, you're getting in there later. So
well,
I'll see you at the Menjula.
It's next Thursday, huh?
Yeah.
Next Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah, next Thursday, about 8 days, 9 days.
Okay, right. I'll have a mint julep or a lily waiting for you.
Definitely a lily. Mint julep I can wait on.
I know, right. So good. Thanks, Warren. I'll see you next
week.
All
right, you guys take care.
Thanks, Warren.
Thanks, my friend.
Soon, okay?
Okay, bye.
Travel safe. Bye-bye.
Warren's great.
Oh, he's great.
He's a sweetie. I already knew his answers to all those questions. I wanted him to be football.
You gave
Taylor.
Him some softball ones. I thought they were going to be a little harder.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to put our people through too much.
Because I still like the which way do you eat your taco.
I know, but I've used that one a lot. So I thought I'd put the French toast, French fries in there. You know?
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
That's a very tough one.
It is.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good one. Very good.
So good.
Love it. Well, he had a lot of insight. You know, I love how he kind of was on the same wavelength as me, as Baker Mayfield is not ready.
He's very polarizing. Yeah. Baker's very polarizing.
I think Baker's hype. I mean, I think a lot of people are starting to think that.
I definitely agree.
Hype over hope.
And he may have some of those off-field issues that we know about that he may be a little hard to contain
arrogance.
And handle, coachable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying anything, but, you know. But, you know, whoever ends up going to Cleveland, God be with you.
Oh. It's true.
Right?
I know,
mean,
it's
hate
true.
To say
good
that.
Luck.
Sure.
Because I love the fan. I love how loyal they are. But, oh, God, it's weird.
It's hard. I mean, tough system.
They got Jarvis now. Josh Gordon's
right?
back.
Mm-hmm.
Who did they just sign? They signed
Tyrod.
But there's a lot of...
A running back, too, though.
Oh, no, you're right.
There's a lot of teams, you know, that I don't know. There's something about Cleveland. Like, even though on paper they look good, they
never.
Always, you know,
fall short.
I know.
And all their games last year, if you watch any of their games, none of y'all did, but if you watch the highlights, you at least see that all the games were close. So they weren't getting blown out.
That's how they've always been the past couple of years. So.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one. I went to the one where they play the Chargers.
You went to the game?
I went to the game. I went to go see a Browns game.
In Cleveland?
No. In
at StubHub.
I was going to say, wow. Are you
not even a Chargers fan. I just, I went to go. But it was
exciting game.
Yeah, very exciting. To watch the Browns play live, oh, I live
Were you
for
riveted
it.
The entire time?
Yeah.
You know what? But it's a lot on their shoulders because it comes down to the quarterback.
It
so
does, but they just, DeShone Kizer, I was watching him and I'm like, that guy does not have what it takes. And then he got traded to the Packers. And I'm like, that guy's got what it takes right there.
As long as whoever is the quarterback goes across the stage doesn't do the money thing.
Oh,
Manziel, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Talk about off-field issues.
Well, I'm excited. You know, it's nice that the draft is actually in a different location. It's in Dallas, Texas.
You'd like that.
Mm. Yeah, you would. Well, so would Julian Smith on our chat is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Wanted you to
and
know.
It's exciting, you know, that now they're kind of changing up, but it's not always, you know, in New York. And I think next year they say may even be in Vegas. That's one of the
cities. That'd be nice.
Right? In their new stadium.
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm one of those people that will watch every round, and I know it gets boring. I'm also the person that watches the combine. So, you know. But, you know, I think it's going to be exciting. I'm just always, you know, you always want to see how these guys end up panning out and how they make the jump and how well they do.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Indeed.
But more exciting is NBA playoffs. What games are tonight, Becky?
NBA tonight we have, we've got San Antonio and Golden State, which you guys already had your feelings about that. So we'll leave that there. We have the 76ers and the Heat.
That's good.
What do you guys think about that?
I think the Sixers put away the Heat tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Heat get one more. Yeah. It's of course, Embiid, but I'm telling you, Ben Simmons, I definitely think he could be Rookie of the Year. And I know the Donovan Mitchell, the rookie sweatshirt, the rookie t-shirt, but I definitely think that Ben Simmons with the playoff triple-double, I think he's got a lot. And I think years to come, it's only the beginning for him.
I love seeing Simmons and Mitchell contributing so much in the playoffs as rookies.
We
also have the Bucks and the Celtics.
That's a good
series. There's some drama going on with that. So what do we think?
I don't know. I think I think it's going to be Celtics.
I got the Celtics tonight. I have the home team winning each game in this series. So I think it goes 7, and I think the Celtics win 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want it to be Celtics. Like, I really want it to be Bucks. Like, I just really want it
to
be Bucks.
You said that last week, too.
I did, because I'm a Bledsoe guy. I'm always going to be a Bledsoe guy.
And you like the underdog, right?
Mm-hmm. I like the underdog. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a Clippers fan, and we've been doing it for a long time. But, you know, Giannis I really like, Jabari Middleton. I wish they could do more.
And they're making it a series. If Boston didn't have the injuries, that would be no series.
I wish
they could
do more, but I mean, this is kind of a Jalen Brown type series. He's
phenomenal. That guy is going to be an all-star. Yeah,
I really like how he's been playing. I really like what the Celtics have going on. I mean, being a Clippers fan, being not a Lakers fan, I'm sorry. So seeing the Celtics do good is nice to see. But I say 6 or 7 for the Celtics.
Well, like you said earlier, it plays into the that's what we want to see during playoff seasons, not the Cavs. We don't want to see the same people or same team steamrolling. So it's fun to see these teams step up.
It is, and I really think that, I hate this. You know, in the beginning, you know, of this show, we talked about, oh, it's going to be the Cavs, you know, winning the Easter Conference. I don't think so.
No, not at all. Second round's going to be great.
Yeah, second round's going to be
I'm excited for it, especially in the East.
And at this point, if I'm LeBron or Coach Lou, I'd be like, I'm done. You know, I kind of let's start fresh.
Like, all right, let's just, we're out of here.
It's tough.
When you have LeBron, though, you always have a shot. That's the thing.
You do. And we do know that the league wants LeBron in. Yeah. So they're going to make sure he
The Raptors look like they're reverting back to old ways a little bit.
They are.
Yeah. Ooh, that series.
Long way to go. Long way to go.
2-2 on a 1-8 Raptors. What are you doing?
A long way to go, but I don't see the Cavs in the finals.
I don't know. No. I think it's still up in the air because they can get hot. LeBron can get hot.
Yeah, I was going to say LeBron.
Korver can start getting hot. Some can step up.
Love can step up, but I still don't think they have the rest of the cast of characters that he needs. So,
well, he needs the team to believe. Like, everybody needs to believe in LeBron. Like, he has to be able to hold them up.
Keep him going. Yeah, you're right, but he needs someone to step up. Kevin Love needs to step up. Let's just be honest. It needs to be Kevin Love.
He needs to step up big time. He's playing soft.
Kevin Love needs to average at least 20 something points per game because right now he doesn't have that second option. He had like 5 points last game, which is ridiculous.
He's not here to do that.
He's here to be the second option right now. Kevin Love needs to step up. He's a little injured, but you know, it's the playoffs.
Right.
You gotta do.
Yeah. I mean, we wanna see T-Wolves, Caleb. That's what we want to see.
And he played so much differently in that uniform than he has.
He was amazing. He was the main guy. All-star caliber there. Main guy. Comes here, plays under LeBron. I mean, look what happened to Kyrie when he left. Kyrie left. He went to go play for the Celtics. I mean, he's hurt now, but he was playing amazing. And even without Gordon Hayward, he was taking that Celtics team to a whole nother level just because he was a great player who didn't have to be trapped by LeBron.
Yeah, that's very true. Before we go, because we only have a couple minutes, Becky, talk about NHL playoffs.
NHL, okay, so first round is essentially set. We've got Boston and Toronto playing tomorrow for Game 7. Okay. We've got the bracket up for everybody to see. It has been, I mean, basically Vegas and San Jose have been sleeping for the last week because they swept, go Pacific. I'm not happy about it, but it's exciting for Vegas. Winnipeg is killing it. I think that Winnipeg is going to take the Predators. Predators really were sliding with Avalanche. Avalanche literally rolled over them. They almost took that that game. So that series. So that's a lot is happening. But yeah, we are one game away from having that set. The Pens. Oh my gosh, the Pens and the Caps.
The Pens.
Third time meeting in the playoffs. The Pens have won 5 Stanley Cups. Have had to steamroll over the Washington Capitals to get it. They have. The Pens are in line for their 3rd Stanley Cup. That is going to be a blockbuster series.
Who do you have tonight in the between Toronto and Boston?
I think Boston will take it. I know we talked when Daryl was here about Toronto being kind of the black horse, but I think Toronto just doesn't have enough experience right now with playoffs.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
Boston's strong. So
Austin Matthews, he's good, but he's not going to take them past Boston.
Yeah, Shadeiro Sharo is just so strong. And so I think they're going to be, they're up against Tampa Bay, and it's going to be strong.
It's going to be a good series. Yeah.
What's going on?
Go Sharks.
Go Sharks for you.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I will not be here next week, so it'll be these three next week taking over. I'm not sure who our guests will be, but it'll be a surprise. Mm. Until then, you can make sure that you can find me at BJ Laughlin and at Bonnie Jill on Instagram and Facebook, and that our Twitter is BJL Weekly Pass.
Yep. I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
Yeah, David, you can find me at David H. Bloom on both Instagram and Twitter. Where are my Angels fans at? Come on, hit me up. Show some love. We're getting better. We're doing stuff. We're doing good stuff now.
Well, heck of a start of the season, but the Dodgers, yikes. I am Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media, Becky Sotero. Thank you for chatting with us in the live chat. Good stuff.
And so until 2 weeks for me, next week for them, thank you again for joining us. We'll see you again next Tuesday at BJL Weekly Pass. We'll see you then. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
From executive producers, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.